This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And I believe we are joined by Sandra Farias. Are you there?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? Thank you so much.
I'm doing good. By the way, I want to say I'm so glad we have you to talk to, and I want to thank a departed friend, a mutual friend of ours, Alejandro Morales, because when I asked him, when I first heard about the strange doings in Argentina, I said, who could we speak to? And he said, Sandra Farias. So, and we did speak to you, and you set it up very nicely because you predicted that come November we might find ourselves with a presidential election that will shock the world. And it has happened. Javier Milei has been elected. I bet you've been following very closely. What stands out here for you? What about this election? He won by a bigger margin than people thought.
That's right, Phil. Well, first of all, of course, I would like also to remember my friend Alejandro Morales. He passed away recently, and it was a big loss for all of us. But the last conversation I had with Alejandro, it was about the elections in Argentina. And that was a big question mark at that point. Now, last night, everything came to light. How easy it was for Javier Milei to capture the audiences in Argentina, and I'm talking about the enormous impact of the media in this election, but not only the traditional media, but mostly the social media. I think we can say for the first time in history, not that anarcho-liberals won the election, but that this is the first time that an election by TikTok is made to the end with a 10% of difference, 12% almost of difference between the two candidates. So it was not a surprise to me. It was not a surprise that the extreme right won the presidential ballot in Argentina yesterday. We are talking about a Latin American country, 45 million people were Peronistas or followers of Juan Perón for the past 70 years as have been on and off in power for the past century. And let's remind our audience who was Juan Perón, a man, president married to Evita Perón, probably well known by...
Sandra?
Worldwide. Yes.
Sandra, we'd like to call you back because we're having a kind of a glitch on the sound, if you don't mind. It'll just take us 1 minute.
Okay. No
Thank
problem.
You. Sorry about that. This is Taylor Report, but we got right on it. I want to say about our intermediary again, Alejandro Morales, a Chilean who fled Pinochet, who killed many people. That was, by the way, another November 11 that happened. What was it, 72?
September 11, 73.
September. Pardon me. I got my...
It was a 9-11. You had that part right.
It was a 9-11, a Pinochet moment for us. By the way, this guy has, in the shadows behind Milei, is the Argentine army. Are you there, Sandra?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, okay. You sound better. Thank you, and we do apologize. So, just again, the Milei. I guess let me put the question this way: he hardly has a party, and yet he's now the president. Isn't there kind of an inevitable mess between the Congress of Argentina and him?
He got a party, actually, because of his alliance with Mauricio Macri, the past president, who was in power for 4 years. Sometimes, you know, the international media tends to forget that the Argentina is having a deep inflation today, 140 points of annual inflation, because of president that took a very, very large sum of funds from the International Monetary Fund between 2015 and 2019, who put Argentina in the worst deficit of its history. So that's one of the reasons why Argentinians are today blaming elections, and they want change. But it's very interesting here that on October 22nd, there was a major change in this election, and this is the reason why Javier Milei was able to win this election yesterday in the ballotage. It was because Mauricio Macri, the past president, and his main candidate, Patricia Bullrich, decided in 24 hours to give all their votes to Javier Milei. So in a way, Javier he was lucky because he was the plan B of President Macri. And the new president now has to follow, you know, the orders maybe of Macri while he is in power. So we don't know exactly which kind of government he's going to develop or which kind of government will unfold now. We know that Macri is behind this government, that's for sure. But he's also trying to avoid prison. And that's why he really wanted to have a president in power. It could have been Patricia Bullrich, who lost to the Peronists, or it could have been Javier Milei, who did the trick and convinced 56% of Argentinians in desperation, who have chosen, I think, an irrational path. A stateless country now, a president which most of his ideas are against the historical values of the community and the people in Argentina. Milei will close 12 ministries on December 20. Millions of public workers will be left without income. It's going to be the worst nightmare for the working class. Also, women, seniors, and children will be affected the most. They are in the informal economy, and they are not going to get more subsidies or disability pensions. Yeah. From a Canadian point of view, for example, it means eliminating the central bank, eliminating most of the federal government roles and jobs, and cutting all areas where the state exists. A plan of this magnitude can only be applied with a tyranny, and that's exactly what Milei's vice president, Victoria Villarroel, is already planning. Military forces will be again at disposal of the president to control any revolt and exercising all their power.
Yeah. He seems, you know, I guess the most striking thing, he said many shocking things, but he says he's going to dollarize the economy. He's going to, he'd like to replace the Argentine currency with American currency?
Well, that's one of the things that he mentioned a lot during the campaign, but now we are not absolutely sure if that is still in his plan, because that's something that's quite impossible with the, if he's doing that today, for example, the inflation will go even higher. So that's something that is not in the short-term possibility for Argentina. They have to finish the deal with the International Monetary Fund and see where they are at that point. There are still a lot of question marks around that. They have to decide as well about the stability of the first 100 days of Milei in power, because it's not going to be easy for this man without experience, without political support rather than Macri's support. And he will rely a lot, though, in international support. That's his friend, for example, in United States, his friends in Israel, many right-wing
I wanted to ask you about that.
Around the world.
He was in an interview with the Reuters, quotes him as saying that he's going to align, he says, we're going to align ourselves with the West. And he said, by way of explanation, the United States and Israel. Most people hearing that it's going to align with the West would think Britain, France, London, you know. But this is really quite remarkable. I understand he was, in his campaigns, was waving an Israeli flag. He says his first foreign visit will be to Israel. What if the, don't the Argentines find that a little crazy, odd?
Well, Argentinians are at this point just, you know, trying to get rid of inflation. That's their big concern, and that's why they vote like they did. I think that we're going to see in the future months a Milei that will deploy some of the things that he said already in the campaign, like, for example, cutting ties to China, to Brazil, which, by the way, are about 35% of the commerce between Argentina and those two countries. So the economy will be pretty much at stake here in his first goal, right? Mm-hmm. But his international agenda would start with a visit to the U.S. and to Israel, as you said, because he's a follower of, and here is the interesting point about Javier Milei, that this is not new, right? This is not a new idea. This is not something new. Uh-huh. He is a follower of the economist Murray Rothbard, an American economist, founder of anarcho-capitalism, Milton Friedman, founder of the Chicago Voice and the Chilean model during the dictatorship of Pinochet. And Milei also has a strong connection with Zionism, and he will probably receive their strong economical support. But today we also found out that there is a new friend for Javier Milei also, is Elon Musk. The big corporations are practically so much interested in Argentina at this point because they are, you know, really ready to take go nailing its seats probably for oil, gas, and lithium. And that's the interest in Elon Musk on Javier Milei, because getting, you know, the lithium from Argentina is a strategic move for this corporation.
Mm-hmm. The media seems to think or be emphasizing Diana Molinos as maybe as the brains in the operation. They seem to have some regard for her. Why is that? Who is she?
Well, she's no one, really. I mean, she doesn't have much political experience. She is the niece of a politician, but Mondino is going to be the face of the Argentina now around the world. And she is relying on these connections in the ultra-right movement from Spain and, you know, what is left from Donald Trump and Jair Bolsonaro in terms of the ultra-right movement for Latin American countries. So there is a lot of, I think, an experience here. We don't know exactly what is the plan in terms of, for example, Brazil. We know that Milei will try to stay close to Uruguay. That's another right-wing president. Mm-hmm. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Chile, for example. What's going to be the relationship with the closest neighbors, the Chilean government now managed by a socialist. So,
yeah. Oh, he's very, his language on that subject is beyond Trump. He says that we're going to not join BRICS because the BRICS are communists. So you can imagine what he thinks of Cuba.
Well, I'm not surprised by this. I mean, this is nothing new for Latin American right wing, right? I mean, there is an historic movement of right wing supporters around many of our Latin American countries, and they are celebrating today the big win of Javier Milei. So there is a lot of things coming up after this big win, because he's going to definitely put, you know, the seed for other governments, other political groups that are there just waiting for this to happen. And Argentina is a big country, and as the Pope put it, you know, a few months ago in an interview, he said that it's a false hope, right, that people, especially the middle class in extinction today because of the failure of democracy and neoliberalism, it's almost like a leap of faith, probably a false hope, like the Pope said, right? It's someone, you know, who make people believe that they're going to have incomes in dollars and figures, and they're going to be able to go to Miami and have cars and have cell phones, and mm-hmm. everything will be great for them. But it's a big lie, and these models have been already tried in Latin American countries for, you know, on many occasions, and they have failed, unfortunately, and nothing good will come from this in Argentina.
Mm-hmm. I was struck by the way he campaigned. People here weren't paying much attention, but he would use a saw, an electric saw.
A chainsaw.
Yeah. And he would turn and he would actually turn it on and wave it around.
Well, he's an eccentric, right? And I mean, we have to also know that Javier Milei is a man who talked to his dead dog through a medium, right? So it's a very unpredictable. A lot of people also put in question his mindset to be a president. But nowadays we're seeing a Javier Milei that is more calm. He's learning the ropes to look more like a president who he is already. And he will learn the ropes, and he will be a good friend for the American media and for the ultra-right media around the world. So mm-hmm. he will learn quickly, and he will have the support of Mauricio Macri and all the friends around the world that will be supporting his government. So today the financial markets respond very well to Javier Milei, in fact, because they know that the deficit in Argentina will stop. They know that they are going to have, you know, dollar figures now for their deals. And most important, they're going to have the natural resources. Like, you know, Argentina was a country in the past century that all the resources and the wealth and resources were managed by the British Empire. And mm-hmm. that's the 19th century. And Javier Milei, he wants to go back to the 19th century. So in a way, you know, a lot of, you know, corporations and countries that would like to have a say in those operations and those businesses, they are very much, you know, supporting his win.
I really think you have put your finger on the problem. The return, despite the radical so-called... what's he call himself? Capitalist, anarcho-capitalist. He actually wants to go to the 19th century. That is a very nice characterization. Thank you very much. Sandra Farias, we're so glad you talked to us. We want to talk to you again. Let's give it about a month or so and see if he's still around, because Argentina is in for a bumpy ride.
Yes, that's right. And we have four more years to see what is going to happen to the Argentinian people. A very nice country, and they are going into a roller coaster.
Yes. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Sandra Farias. And we're sorry for the sound problems. We did, at least we got some information from somebody who really knows what she's talking about. I like that point about the returning to the 19th century,
right,
in the name of, you know, the vanguard of the 21st.
Of course. That's how you do it.
Yeah, you just, you know, sell them a bill of goods.
Yeah, and it turns out he has something in common with a historic Canadian prime minister. He talks to his dead dog through a medium. That is, of course, a tradition started with Mackenzie King.
Right? Yeah, I'm so, you know, maybe it's because of the Palestine and Gaza business, but I'm struck by the fact that he's giving interviews. He was talking to the Times of Israel, and he says he's going to convert to Judaism after he finishes his term, and that he is a friend. He knew Mr. Rabbi Schneerson of the Lubavitchers in New York. He used to go to meet with him. And I'm thinking, what? You really have a curious story. And you go to rallies with a chainsaw and you say that you're going to turn the Argentine currency into American dollars. Oh, by the way, I left out. They're going to make it legal to sell human organs. You can, if you're unemployed and you want to make a little money on the side, you can sell your kidney or whatever. And he was elected.
He won.
The bottom line of this crazy story is he was elected. What that actually tells you, in the same way that Trump story it tells you, is you have a deeply troubled population who no longer believe, have any good reason to believe, in the people who are running the state and the media. And that happens in the U.S. They found out. And you remember, it started with Reagan. They said Reagan had Teflon, the Teflon president. No matter what you said, it didn't have any effect. They would run the usual kind of, thing about his brother-in-law, it's found in a parlor somewhere, and nothing happened. Or they would find out that he had lied and stolen some money, and everybody waited for him to resign, and no. And his numbers kept going up. In the case of Trump, we notice that no matter what you say, that nothing happens. But that's because you have a population that is more angry with you. I remember the exchange. I watched Trump with the bright white-haired kid from CNN, the one whose mother's a billionaire. I guess he's a billionaire. You don't follow that. One of the great American fortunes.
No, I don't remember the name.
But it's Anderson, right? Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
He's from a billionaire family. Anyhow, he was saying to Trump, how can people trust you? And he says, Anderson, they don't trust you. He said, look at the numbers. They trust me more than they trust you. So what are you asking me this question for? Which is, frankly, a good point. Now we have it in the case of Argentina. There's a lot of people in the State Department and elsewhere who would like to embrace this guy, but his methods are so shocking. He wants open carry of weapons without any registration. He says, no, it's a free country. Just take a gun and do what you want with it. And you can sell human organs. If you want to sell that, that's anarcho-capitalism.
So then the guy with the gun can come take your organs.
Not a bad idea, actually. Or you can go and get it back and sell it again. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And in the 4 minutes that we have, we could talk further about this. I'm going to go back again. I just say it over and over. Now we're talking about media again. Why aren't the media diving into the story of the two Michaels? Because they fed us a steady diet about how they were victims, etc. Now one of them is on the other guy's case, and the media is silent. Why don't they maybe write an editorial saying, we're thinking this over? But when they don't say a word, what do they think? We're hiding under a mushroom or somewhere? and that we're just satisfied? I want a bunch of people who are running their mouths to talk to us. That we had a former ambassador to China. His name, I think, is St. Jacques.
Yeah.
He's regularly on the CBC. If he shows up again, if they invite him, the first question should be, the Globe and Mail says a senior diplomat advised or was guiding Kovrig and steered him to a meeting with Spavor. Was that you, Mr. St. Jacques? Because they've been going to St. Jacques for learned commentary, but he sounds like he might be a player. The way that story is written, and I love it, the way the Globe, by the way, does a typical thing in not revealing any sources, which leaves, we have a right then to talk about who might be the source. So we need to, every time one of these guys appears, and they're always putting a mic under their nose, you know, and they're always, they treat them as though they're highly respected, learned, blah, blah. Almost, they were appointed by Harper, who, you know, was not the smartest or nicest individual. They got these blasted jobs. And then something like this happens, and nobody says, was that you? Were you in on that? And he said, for example, in order to give himself a little boost, he said, oh, I know him, you know. Okay, well, now we have a problem. So you know him, and you were the ambassador. So were you the one who directed him to talk to Spavor? Allegedly, it was that happened. Not so a diplomat did that. Was that you? But instead, we just have this, you know, a little cat purring in the lap of the state, you know. And anything you tell me, that's fine. It's all bromide. So we need, I guess the answer is, and all the, I read all, there's about 500 comments, by the way, if you don't know, the Globe and Mail, you have long, long comments. Everybody said, why don't we have an independent foreign policy? Why did we arrest Meng because Trump asked us to, or told us, I'm sorry, told us to? And why are we in Five Eyes? Let's get out of this stuff. Why aren't we in like a grown-up country? And so that is the most pertinent question people could ask. So there's going to be a Gaza demonstration coming up in Ottawa on the weekend. There's plenty, big one on the 25th. I really urge everybody to go there. People are the creative support for the civilians who are being blasted in Gaza of so many sectors of our society is just beautiful to behold. There are people demonstrating against the arms sellers to, you know, providing weapons, and students are walking off out of classes. And I'll say one last thing on the slogan from the River to the Sea, Palestine will be free. People say, oh, that's bad. I want to remind them that the Likud Party charter says from the sea to the Jordan is Israel, which is exactly the same concept. It's just one, it's me or it's the other guy. When actually international forces agree, states, is that you're supposed to have a two-state solution. So one of them is missing. And it's time to make everybody to give full diplomatic recognition to the Palestinian state. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT, and we're very grateful for the good work from for Mr. Riley and
somebody. Okay, stay tuned for Tracks from Abroad with Jesse McDougall coming right up.
Okay, see you next week.